allowing me to be trained. I haven't gone to I've gone to day trainings here and there, but this week I'm going to get to go, and we're going to be covering 10 different topics, five of which are relevant to what's happening right now in society and how does the church respond and react. But also, just a side note, be praying on Thursday. I'm going to get to meet with the professor over the children's ministry and interns and people going into ministry at Trevecca. And so just pray that maybe something would come to be of that. And so we continue to search for a children's pastor to support our children's team. And they're doing tremendous. And I'm so proud of them. And they kind of just run on their own. And so I know we don't get to see it, but obviously when they leave here, they're being well taken care of. And so make sure to love on them and those volunteers that are in here right now. Just encourage them for just all their time and effort. And Elizabeth, thank you so much. She's kind of taken the head and led it. And just so thankful for her. And make sure you check your email about the December thing. All right, I'm just messing around. So we're going to go into a series called Life Hacks. Have you ever been hacked? Yes. Have you ever gotten an email from me that if you look at the email, it's actually not my email? There's like a couple of letters off because it's called phishing. And so they fish out there, grab it, make it look like, are y'all with me? Y'all know what this is. You call the office and say, did you ask me for a $500 gift card? And I said, if it is, only for the church. So anyway, I mean, you know, that's so probably not. And so if you ever get those, just assume that they're not true. So I'm going to give you some. And I'm kind of heading you in a fun direction for a second here. But oftentimes when the Lord comes into our life, it sometimes feels like a life hack. It sometimes feels like we're headed in one direction and then all of a sudden he comes in and he speaks a word and we're headed in a different direction. And the person that we are going to look at is like my second favorite individual in the Old Testament. But first, I think that I have a lot of wise advice, don't I? My wife is saying nothing. I would say probably not. Outside of the word, I don't have much else, so don't come to me for anything else. But let me just give you a couple. I know I've thrown this out before, and as inflation goes up, you should be purchasing your meat right now. Are you all with me? Y'all, come on now. I don't mean be a hoarder, and I don't mean be like a crazy Y2K-er, but you should probably have some things on hand that your family uses right now because food, gas is all going up in the next couple of months, and so you can just go to your freezer because your pastor told you about it, and in January when I'm right, you'll thank me. But along that line, when you go away for a little bit, you should have a frozen cup of water in your freezer. I've told you this before, right? See, y'all don't listen to me. All right, now thank you. The ones that have been around for a while, y'all better be listening. You never know when it's going to pop back up. But you put that cup of ice in your freezer. You put a penny on top when you come home from vacation. If that penny is below the top, what should you assume? Throw that meat away, okay? Don't serve it to your friends. Don't bring it to potluck. Because you know what we do when that kind of thing happens? We say, well, you know, we could just bring it to the potluck. And so let's not do that, right? No, not, don't bring it to the church potluck either. I don't know if you ever have a hard time getting the bucket in the sink. Yeah, see, I do because we do a lot of cleaning. We'll take your dustpan, lift it in there, let it funnel in. It'll go straight into the, right? See, look at this. I'm changing your lives. Have you ever used, you know, the pant hangers that have like the hooks on each side? Those of you that have pants, well, put your cookbook on that and then hang it on your knob and you can use that. It keeps it open. You know how when you use it, do y'all use cookbooks anymore? I do. I have a Martha Stewart one that I don't. I really love that baby. The problem is I've tried this and it's too heavy. It just pops right off the. If you got a small cookbook, you can use that. Have you ever wrapped a wet paper towel around your drink and put it in the freezer for a second? Yes, it'll get cold really quick. My dad taught me that one because he's all about a frozen cup. You ever put pancake mix in one of those extra large ketchup bottles and then squirt it perfectly? That's how when my kids say, right? Okay. Did you know Doritos are not good for you, but they're good for, I mean, come on now, you know that powder on there ain't real. They actually say a lot of what's in the middle of the supermarket ain't real, so don't trust it. Well, anyway, you can trust it to start your fire, and so I'm pretty sure if it can start a fire, it's probably not meant for, that's why y'all take heartburn medicine. So here's another one, and I have some things I got to get fixed as I haven't been using this one, but if you take your buttons and you put a little clear nail polish on it, you're familiar with this one, right? And it doesn't fray and it doesn't, look at that. Listen, men, go home or go on your way home and get you a clear nail polish and that'll solve all your problems. So, well, guess what? I have good news for you. Each week I have a whole set of new ones for you. So the next 4 weeks, If you don't learn anything about the Bible, you'll at least know how to live life a little bit easier in the next couple of weeks. So y'all looking at me like I'm crazy. You got your Bibles today? Here's where I'm actually okay at. So grab your Bibles, go to 1 Kings chapter 19, verses 19 through 21. And once you have that, if you would, please stand. Now, many of you are very familiar with Elijah. Okay, I'm going to have to say it really strong. Elijah and Elisha. And Elisha took the call of the Lord from kind of Elijah. I think the reason why we focus on him so much is he had the opportunity to go to heaven directly. Pretty tremendous, right? We don't see many people getting to do that, which tells us that Elijah's connection with the Lord was strong, intense, beautiful, pure, whatever you want to make it. But it's a beautiful scene of when he's wrapped up and taken to heaven. But the dude left behind, you ever been left behind? He's a spitfire. I'm telling you, just because you've been left behind doesn't mean you're not worth something. I promise you that Elisha, and you're going to learn about him in the next couple of weeks, is a spitfire. And I believe that his life was hacked, meaning what was became no longer. And it is a tremendous transformation and change in his life. And I hope that as God comes into your life, that you have these moments that you can say, I was, but I'm no longer. And this is where we find ourselves here, the call of Elisha. And this is Elijah departing. So as we start in verse 19, I'll put in, instead of he, I'll put Elijah. So Elijah departed from there and found Elisha, the son of Shaphat, who was plowing with 12 yoke of oxen in front of him. Think about it, 12 yoke of oxen. That is no joke, which would indicate to us that it was a large area, okay? Oftentimes you'd find them just with two. 12 tells us that this dude knew what he was doing, okay? And he had some what? Y'all gonna go buy 12 cows, you need what? And if you're gonna buy two instead of 12, you need less money, but if you have 12, you need, unless you got a friend. Okay, so, who was plowing with the 12 yoke of oxen in front of him, and he was with the 12th, Elisha passed by him, think about this, passed by him and cast his cloak upon him, and he left the oxen and ran after Elisha and said this, let me kiss my father, and I'm going to blow your mind today about this because we confuse this, let me kiss my father and my mother, and then I will follow you. And he said to him, go back again. I want you to hold on to this. For what have I done to you? And he returned from following him and took the yoke of oxen and sacrificed them and boiled their flesh with the yokes of the oxen and gave it to the people, and they ate. Then he arose and went after Elijah and assisted him. God, today, as we look back, as we reflect, As we watch your favor, your presence move in a young man in such a tremendous way, God, I pray that today we would be changed, that we would see and be changed, that we would see and that we would understand that you have more, and that sometimes we have to allow you to just come in and just change the lane, change the direction, get us into another. And so today, let us be willing, let us be ready, let us hear, come against the enemy in the name of Jesus. We trust you today. We pray that your presence would be here, and we ask that you cast the enemy out and allow us to hear you fully today in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen, amen. All right, a couple of reasons why I like him. If you look in the scripture, he was bald. Y'all, come on now. You're just so slow. You all got hair. You know what it's like. Well, no, not all of us, but some of us who lost it early because of just the Lord just, I don't know, he took it. But anyway, he was bald, so that makes him great. He was also bold. He was a pretty bold guy. He was honest. He was truthful. We see here just a beautiful example of what it means to follow God just by a cloak. Think about it. I mean, here's the thing. Oftentimes in our society today, we need what? We need flashing lights, right? Me coming here, I said, God, you got to give me a sign. And I just go to a random business meeting, sit across from lunch and says, hey, and this is the day after I said, no way. The next day I go to lunch and he says, I'm going to emulate a ministry in Anderson. And I said, Anderson where? And he said, well, Anderson, Indiana. And I said, oh, I said, now, God, I told you last night that I'm not, and why today are you? That's not, like, I never heard of it before. See, church, he has a way of coming in. And what's interesting here is that Elisha was bold enough to just say, oh, the cloak, we'll talk about the cloak. Cloak had a lot of meaning. He would have known what it was. He would have actually seen it on, heard about it. It was huge. But come on now. How many times does somebody throw a shirt at you and you say, I'm all in, right? We don't often, and unfortunately, in the day we live in, we discuss, we wait for the flashing light, we wait for the confirmation, we wait, we watch, we ask, and we say, God, please make it bigger. I think oftentimes God is saying to us, but I used, and you need more? And see, that is not Elisha. Elisha is full of faith. Full of faith. In fact, hardly evident faith. So three things today. First is the approach. The approach. It was odd. Right? It was an odd approach. Here's what's interesting is God didn't give specific instructions, okay? He gave some instructions, but not the way in which to do it. Now, mind you, Elijah's just used to going along, right, doing his thing. You ever been there in life? You're just moving along. God gives you an instruction. If you know much about this, you see him kind of have interaction with God. Some time goes by. God says it's time to move on. So we find ourselves in this place. And Elijah, knowing what the cloak meant, basically just went by and, well, fine, God, you're done with me. I don't think he felt that way. But, you know, it wasn't really like, hey, guess what? It wasn't like when Samuel went to, it was just walking by through the cloak. And what's interesting is Elisha's the one. Have you ever had that happen? Like somebody comes by and they throw a big set of news at you, but they keep walking because they don't want to discuss it, right? They don't want to deal with it. And so they just kind of like, here you go. And I'm going to throw that out there and change your life for good. And I'm going to keep on going. And you've got to say, well, wait a minute. What are you doing? So Elisha finds this cloak, basically, let's say, out in left field, right? He was in the field, out in left field, okay. Think about it, too. Something interesting about this. Both parties were in line. Well, what do you mean? As we get to know Elisha, as we get to know his family, as we get to know why he was allowed to go back and talk to his family, it was because he was always ready for the next thing that God had for him. He was not living. Yes, he was living. Yes, he was providing for his family, but he was not living in an unawareness of God. He also wasn't living in an unawareness that God wouldn't use him. In fact, he was always in a place of awareness where, hey, God may use me. Now think about it. In this day, it was different. They had prophets that spoke words, and they were really like important people and people that kind of society centered on. And that was because God was speaking in a different way. What's great about today is that as the Holy Spirit was unleashed, we get to be a part of the same excitement, call, plan that Elisha was given. And so the approach was interesting. Well, let's talk about the robe or the cloak, depending on what your translation says. But it was important. It symbolized something. It symbolized the mantle, which is the true word, the mantle. Y'all have a mantle at home? Okay, so we grew up in a tiny little house growing up. I didn't know that it was tiny until I went back when I was this big. You know what I'm saying? You go back and you're like, you ever do that? Like, as a kid, everything seems so big. And then you go back and it's like, wait, we lived in this? You know what I'm saying? Like, how did we function? No wonder my mom got mad. You know what I'm saying? We're running up the only hallway that was this long that went from the kitchen to all three bedrooms, right? And so now I get it. But as a kid, it just all seemed so big. We never had a mantle. And I always said to my mom, we should buy one of those fake ones so we can hang our stockings on it. Well, then I get married to a lady who likes to decorate, and so we hang a mantle, and we make a place for it. You know what I'm saying? You go out and you get the wood, you cut it, and you stain it, and you go from there. You don't do it now because wood's too expensive. But anyway, you make a mantle. But when we think about a mantle, it's a what? It's a statement piece. It's kind of a focal piece. A lot of us put our flat screens above and our whatever electric heaters underneath, right? Or maybe we have a real one and we have like the big old, like, I don't know if you have that, but that's exciting. You put the wood in there and it kind of becomes a focal point. So when Elijah saw this cloak, it would have meant something. In fact, the mantle of the prophets were there since the time of Hannah when she decided or dedicated her yet-to-be-conceived son to Yahweh. It was not about the person throwing it or the person receiving it. This cloak meant calling. What's the cloak now? The Spirit of God. Church, the Spirit of God was moving. That cloak represented the tabernacling, the presence of the living God, going from one person to the next. And so when Elisha saw it, when he recognized it, when all the stories that he had learned through the Torah, when all the things came to be, think about it. He knew what was up. He knew what it meant. Mind you, if you were a believer, if you were of the Jewish faith, if you were an Israelite in this day, guess who you would have known? Elijah. And for him to walk by and throw the mantle, the presence. Now why do I start out with this and say the approach is so important? Church, this same concept is happening today. The Lord is moving and looking to his people to throw the mantle to and say, this is your time. This is your season. You know what we do oftentimes when the approach begins to come? We get religious. We get away. And we don't receive. Many of us defeat God's work in the approach. We don't even let him get to throwing the cloak because we go into our, that's a little much. Elijah received the approach. Elijah just, what in the world? Are you serious? I can't believe this. This is incredible. You know who talked about this? My parents. Like, this is happening to me. Man, I don't know about you, but I think as Christians, if we started approaching it like, wait a minute, the God of the universe who made Mike's hand heal in an incredible way, who did wants me? Man, maybe we'd be a little bit more okay with the approach. See, because it's about what's being brought to. If we can get ourselves out of the way. Second thing, the words. Now, oftentimes we do what? And I'm going to bring the scripture out at the end. We refer it back to Jesus' words, right? Where he said, hey, don't go back to mom and dad and don't. Now, I want you to get the difference here, okay? And here's what you've got to pause and look at, because Elijah says something pretty incredible. The words are deeper. They basically hacked his entire life. They set the tone for the future. We see Jesus often say, hey, will you follow me? And some say, hey, I'm coming with you right now. Some say, let me go back. Jesus says, go back and don't come with me. Here's what's interesting. Guess what we know about Elisha's family? They followed God. In fact, they were in a sect. They were in a sect of people that still followed God in the midst of many of the Jewish people doing what? Worshiping Baal. Meaning they were surrounded by people who had left the faith, surrounded by people who should have stood for the faith. They were in an area all by themselves, with a small group of people. You know how hard it is to keep the faith in a small group of people? I was thinking about our youth on Wednesday night and thinking about this message and realizing that when they go to school, it must feel like there's a small group of them, right? In the midst of all that's happening around them. And how do they stand firm? Well, Elisha's family did what? Stood firm. So you've got these family members that would what? Understand the words that Elisha was saying. And here is what Elijah said. Now think about this for a second. What have I done to you? Now let's talk about, you all ready to have a little bit of fun? Okay, I really enjoyed studying this, and I've studied this over the years, but I want you to understand this. Here's the thing, most of us think, okay, like in the New Testament, you know why Jesus said, I don't want you to go back to your, you ever go back to your parents? The Lord speaks to your heart, you go back and say, hey, God's called me to, and they say, what? Now, young man, you know that that's not going to provide for you. You ever been there before? Now, mind you, what was Jesus doing? He was calling people under the new covenant, and they wanted to go back to the people that he already knew, and he says it in the way he responds, knew they were not going to what? Oh, yeah, go with Jesus, the Messiah's here. They were going to say, look, son, get back here, get back to the plow, get back to the tent making. That man is crazy. He's causing a ruckus, and Jesus knew their response. Why? Because they weren't in line with the new covenant. The difference here, and this is crazy, is that Elijah said, what have I done to you? Now, when you go into the deeper meaning, this is fascinating. He was saying, why are you acting so crazy? In fact, in the way he spoke it to him, Elisha realized that Elisha was about to go back and cut it all off. And Elijah, in just that little conversation, says, what have I done to you? Why are you responding like this? Why are you going so crazy? Why are you going overboard? You know what Elisha did? He went back, and guess who didn't oppose? His family. Now, mind you, the way families were connected, okay, if your son went back and said, look, I'm out in the fields, I'm about to get rid of all of our yokes, all of our oxen, and I'm going to burn your crops, what would you say? You'd say, hold on, let me go get the, and we'll take care of this, let me go get the shotgun, and we'll take care of this a different way. Don't touch my stuff. Because this would have been a family business. We don't see any of that. Talk about coming home and saying, God's doing something. And they say, well, then go burn the plows. Go burn the oxen. Get rid of it all so that you don't come back to this. Whew. Talk about some good parents. Talk about some good church people. You feel called to what? Then go for it. You know, we can't find ministry people. I've been at every university talking to every... They just keep telling we don't put them out anymore. Well, it's not them. We send them to them, right? So what are we putting out? The AFC's put out a lot. But in general, what is the church of God, right? The church who believes in Jesus Christ. And how are we encouraging when a young person says, I feel. And so here, he goes back and Elijah says, we don't have to do all that. What have I said to you that would cause you to go that crazy? We still have a journey. I'm not passing away yet. What do you think? I'm already in the grave. I mean, come on now. Church, the question is, when the Lord's call comes to you, what is your drastic response? Y'all, we aren't very drastic in the church. We're planned out. We're protected. We think about everything. And we strike down two-thirds of what? See, we should be people of drastic life moments. And unfortunately, if we just sat down and said, we're going to spend the day here, okay, we could just go through the word over and over and over again. And when the Lord came in, movements happened. The Lord is still coming in and still saying. The third thing, whew. Now, I love this because this is like before the New Testament. There are all kinds of reasons why Elisha got rid of everything and why his parents and family said, okay. First of all, Elijah knew that he was going back to say goodbye to his parents so that he could get rid of everything and not have any temptation to go back. Now, let me just share with you. Let's just break it really down, okay? The Lord frees us from something. Maybe it's a sin. Let's just use pornography. It's sweeping our world like crazy. Y'all don't want to believe it, but it's just the truth. It's taking our young people. It's taking our younger people. The stats are saying pornography is younger than ever. In fact, the stats are saying that women accessing pornography is almost up to the same as men. So let's just be real in the church. It's happening. And see, when the Lord frees us of something like that, we always like to leave a little door open. It's like people that I work with, we cut off all the phone access, but we leave access to just in case I want to. And see, right from the beginning, do you know what the Lord is teaching us through this? Don't do that. In fact, it was such a strong response that Elijah said, I only threw the cloak. Like, I think God told me that you were going to get it, and so I didn't think I needed to have pop and circumstance. I didn't think we needed to, and why in the world are you? And you don't have to go and do. You know what I wish? Is that more people would do that. Burn it all. You know what? We don't need cell phones. Pastor Gary's got it right. Flip it up and call and text. You know what I'm saying? Right? That works. I keep telling my wife when I'm done in the ministry, I'm handing that thing in and I'm getting me my flip phone and I will call you when I need you. Do you know what I'm saying? And I will text you when I need you. But think about it. He went back and got rid of every single temptation. He said, it's over. I can't. Now you say, well, what do you mean? Well, shoot, let's go for it. Did you know the flesh there actually translates? Think about it. The flesh there translates to his what? Anything in his flesh that would have him go back. So he boiled the flesh. Now that's kind of what? It's a little gross, okay? He couldn't have eaten what was there. I mean, it is when you start looking at it, there really wasn't a reason for that, but there was. He got it back then, how strong an influence the flesh, okay, temptation was. And he went and burned every bit of it. 12 oxen, church, in this day and age, right? If we were to compare it in money, they had some money. The Lord was blessing them, and they got rid of it all and said, I need to know that I can't come back here. And so theologians say the family took what they had earned and lived from there. And I bet you, oh, we shouldn't bet. Well, I think that they were probably well taken care of. Because you know what God does to people that radically transform and never go back and always follow? He takes care of them, church. Elijah got to do what? Just. And so he removed. Elijah had nothing personal to go on but that which was spoken to him, and he got rid of it all and said, today is the day. It was almost like he was just waiting, pushing those plows every day, saying, God, I'm ready. I mean, it's probably not going to happen because I'm getting to be an old man, but I'm ready. He left it all, every bit of it, and he did what? Once it was gone, burned, his family said, we still love you. He did what? He rose and he went out. Now, I can't wait to share next week. Because what's interesting about next week is we're going to look into all that he actually got to do through the power of God. And I believe that the only reason he got to do that, because I think we forget he sits next to Jesus for a lot of things. In fact, he and Jesus just kind of one-ups him a couple of times. And it's because Elisha was all about and not about, because he represented the boiling of the flesh by his flesh being gone. He let it go that day. He left it. So when we look at this scripture where Jesus references what? He references back to Elisha, and people get it confused because they say, well, wait a minute, you're saying don't go back. He was allowed to go back. Well, back then they would have got it. They would have understood. They would have realized that Jesus was saying, you have to let it all go. And I know if I let you go right now and go back, that influencer is going to come in and influence you straight out of the direction I'm calling you. You know what the enemy is really good at and what time he's really good? Is on Sundays in the morning when y'all are getting up. Tell me that's not the enemy. I promise you, when I meet Jesus, he's going to say, you have no idea the battle that happened on my day. Come on now. And you'll have no idea the battle that happened as people exited their worship times, their Sunday school classes, their small groups. Don't tell me the enemy isn't after you when you leave and say, you know what, I'm going to let it all. And then you go out and the enemy says, but wait a minute, what about? Tell me he's not at work. But I rebuke him in the name of Jesus, because when we let the flesh go and the spirit comes in, we can live like this. So Jesus said to him, "No one who puts his hand to the plow and looks back is fit for the kingdom of God." We like to say that Jesus didn't say strong things. We like to say that it's all about, but let me tell you, he loves us so much that he's strong with us because he knows what's back there. Bondage, lack of freedom, lack of seeing who and what we're created for and what we're created to do. And so, when we think about this week, as you study, as you read, as you begin to, there's a wealth here about Elisha. But I just want you to be mindful and careful when the Lord comes and approaches you. Welcome him. I'm okay with saying this. He's going to approach us all our lives, and we're going to deny him a lot. Much of it's not sin. It's just not stepping into the fullness. I don't think Elisha would have gone to hell and he said, "You know what, I'm not the mantle bearer, but I'm going to continue to serve the Lord and pay my tithe and be there." Yeah, we'd probably see him. But imagine what he'd miss out on. Imagine what the people that were intended to be ministered to by would have missed out on. Because there was something about him that God scanned the world and said, "Huh, Elisha's the one for this time. In fact, he's got a little bit more charisma. He's probably not going to question me like Elijah has started to do." And we don't want to, you know, we love Elijah and I love him too. But he started to, "Well, God, I need Elisha right now. And you know what he needs? You right now. He needs you." So when he approaches, welcome. Be okay with the words. Be okay with being radical. And then let your actions reflect the call. God, we thank you for this day. God, as you send your spirit, as you move, as you approach, let us be a people that are willing and ready. I pray today that you would speak to us, that you would guide us, that you would transform us, and we pray against the enemy. There's an enemy today that as we go out, because he's not welcome here. As we go out, he's going to try to mess with us. And so we pray right now for your power to come down and speak truth, to speak life, to speak love. And in that moment, let us crucify the flesh and say, "No, not today." And say yes to you. We love you. We honor you. We praise you. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. God bless you all. Have a great afternoon. Sunday school starts soon. Beneath my shame.